2016. This is interviews, music reviews, and more. This is The Hotter Show.
What is up, everybody? We're rolling out of you here today on episode 396 of The Hotter Show. I hope you guys are doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you so very much for tuning in and clicking that play button on today's episode of the podcast. I know it has been a little while, and I apologize for that. Lots going on over here at the Hotter Camp, both in my personal life and with the new podcast, Tape Trepidation, the horror podcast. And schedule-wise, it's been a little tricky to schedule interviews and things of that nature. But rest assured, I will be back to regularly scheduled podcasts soon. But possibly for the rest of the summer, things might be a little sporadic. You're going to get at least get an episode from me at least once a month. For the next little while, I'm not going to just take off, but rest assured, anytime you hear from me, it's going to be something good. Just like my chat today with Dom Perron from Afraid, formerly of Out of My League, is back on the Hotter Show after almost 8 years, basically, to talk all about the new band, what he's been up to, his horror filmmaking, and a bunch of other fun stuff to do in the world of horror influences and things of that nature. And just kind of what he's been up to, really, over all the last few years. It's a fantastic conversation. I hope that you guys enjoy it. I'm sure that you will. Dom is always a wonderful guest, and I very much appreciate him taking the time to talk with me here for this episode. Before we jump in, I just want to thank everybody for their support on the last episode of The Hotter Show, my chat with Matt Michelli, all about his new book, Porn Again. Go check it out. It is a fantastic interview and a fantastic read. I'm sure that you will enjoy it. If you like your horror a little spicier, you're definitely going to like it. And just go support Matt Chili. He's a fantastic guy. So go support him. Give him some love. Let him know that Hotter sent you. And if you like horror, check out Tapes of Trepidation, my horror podcast, horror narration podcast. Having a lot of fun over there. And it is going strong. We're having some really good feedback and some good reviews and stuff. So that's always that's always cool and fun. But here today, we're going to have some fun with Dom Perron from Afraid. Let's get into it. All right, guys. For the first time since 2016, which literally feels like a lifetime ago, almost pretty much 9 years at this point, we are being joined by Dom Perron from formerly from Out of My League, now from the brand new project Afraid. Dom, dude, it has been a minute. What's up? It's good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you, man. Great to see you. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm just hanging out and living life. And it has been such a wild ride the last month and a half or 2 months or three. I don't even know how long. It feels like it was just last week that you guys kind of came out of nowhere coming back as a band. But actually, I guess it was a few months ago now as we're as we're talking.
Yeah. Show was in April. So was it like January or February we like actually announced our shit? I can't even remember at this point. It's been so much going on. It's all kind of a blur.
Which is, I think, the best way to be, like when you just, like I said, came out of nowhere. Like, obviously, you know, I have been keeping tabs on everybody and what everyone's been doing, and you know, obviously for you, we have tons to talk about as far as what you've been doing since we talked last in 2016, for sure, as far as your life kind of outside of music. But then obviously once Out of My League did come to an end in, was it 2018, you guys had the final show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So just to dive in head first here, walk me through Out of My League comes to an end. You guys have the final show. You guys all go your separate ways to do different things. What does life look like for you from that moment to basically a few months ago?
So we disbanded, and then everyone kind of went their own avenues in life. Me personally, I went to film school. I knew that was something I always wanted to do because it's like, outside of music, that's like my biggest passion for sure. I'm very much into like filmmaking and just movies in general. So I went to film school, 3-year program. Did that for 3 years. Made a lot of new friends. I moved to the city. for the entire school year, I was living in Etobicoke. And then in the summers, I would come home back to Bowmanville, which is where me and the rest of the band are from. Did film school for 3 years. It was awesome. It was a great experience. Graduated, worked on some projects, started getting involved in the film world more heavily, working on my friends' projects, making my own projects. After that, the pandemic hit. And then once the pandemic hit, is when the band decided to reform, because it just kind of like put everyone's lives on hold. And then we were like, why not, dude? Like, why not? Because it was like one of those situations where the reason Out of My League kind of disbanded was because it was like on an incline, like in terms of like our success. And then we hit like kind of stagnant. And then it just got to a point where everyone's like, oh, well, we still have the time to like try other stuff. We're all very young. And the band isn't in a place where we want it right now. And everyone just had a different kind of train of thought. So we decided to just go about our lives and try our own stuff, our own singular avenues. And then after 5 years, I think 5 years, I want to say 2018. Or yeah.
3 to 5, give 3 years ish, 3-4 years.
Yeah. So sorry, 3 years, 4 years, whatever, but 5 years until we actually played a show, or 6 years. I keep getting it all mixed up, but yeah, after all the time went by and we were like, okay, we've done our own stuff and now we want to make music again, 'cause it's COVID and we're bored. Our whole thing this time around was like, let's make music that we like and that we want to play live and have fun, but let's not like, Out of My League, there were like these huge grandiose kind of goals, like, oh, like we want to be full-time touring, maybe get signed to like some label, whatever. Whereas this time it's a lot more about like, just like, let's play good shows. Let's make music that we like. The goals are a lot more like low key and like more about like, it's just more personal. It's not about like being a huge successful band per se.
There's more of there's more of an emphasis on like, I say all the time on this show and in creative avenues and stuff when I'm talking to people, is like, we all got into doing whatever creative avenue we do because it's fun. Let's have fun. Like, yeah, what a concept.
And also like, as long as it's like we're just making art that we like and it's personally gratifying,
right,
then like that's kind of the goal. And then obviously just being like, still kind of holding our reputation as like a tight band.
And also, hey, if in the meantime some cool stuff can happen, you know,
well, exactly.
Hey, cool, like, but
yeah, exactly. Like if wherever it goes, we will act accordingly.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's even like with Out of My League, with it all coming to an end, like obviously, seeing that I've said stuff like this before, but like, you know, I watched you guys literally from day one, Beautiful Calamity era, all that, to like coming to an end with the Oblivion era, so to speak. And it's like, sometimes I think I would forget how young you guys really were at that point. Like you personally, especially, like you had like, you just finished high school, like 2016, 2017, somewhere around there. Or well, you were done for, or somewhere around there.
When we did Calamity, when we did the first ever EP, I think I was in like 10th grade
or something. You were really young, dude.
So was I, and so was Allie.
Yeah.
And so was Matt. Like when we started playing music together, in like our other bands and shit. We were in the ninth grade. Like when Out of My League was at like the peak of its success, I think I was like 18 years old, 19 years old.
Yeah.
So like even now, like I'm 26. So like I'm still like, I like
26. Jesus Christ, I feel old. Sorry, I thought you were like 23, I mean. Like, 22. Like,
yeah, like I've been involved in live music for like a long time.
Yeah,
but I'm still like most would consider me to be like a very young person or whatever. So, yeah, like Out of My League was like my youth. You know what I mean?
Right. But it was still the amount of success that you guys had, like even just from a local standpoint, meaning like in the Ontario scene, like it's pretty wild that even now to this day, the last few years when I have bands on from the region and, you know, we'll shoot the shit about bands or whatever before we talk. And Out of My League usually always came up and I'd be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And they'd be like, holy shit. Like, you know, those guys, I'm like, ah. Like, you know, so it's wild to think the amount of success you guys had when you were so young and then to still be able to go off and do other things, which I think is healthy because you don't want to have a like, well, what if this, what if that? Like, you always want to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think about. That was the way a lot of us, at least I mean, speak for myself, like the way I saw it was like, if I want to come back to music, like I can, like I have the time, like I like. The world is still like yet to like open up to me in so many ways because I've been just like in this Out of My League world since I was like, you know, a young teenager.
And then now it's like you guys have come back still very much afraid when you compare, like, it's funny, man. Like, it's so weird that, like, I think it was like the week before, the week or two before Afraid was announced, I was listening to Resented and Oblivion just randomly. I think Foundations, because I still love, that's still my favorite Out of My League song. It popped up in one of my playlists and I was like, fuck yeah, like, oh my god, I've got how much I love this song. And so I was listening to it, and then to go from that into now this new project, I was like, oh my God, is this like, and it was like, okay, there's no way they're going to come out and make like, you know, hey, we're Out of My League too. And here's, you know, Oblivion too. Like, it's like, this is going to be different. And the way you guys presented everything was different. And knowing the background that you personally have had over the last few years in that horror world, which we'll definitely talk a little bit more about, but like, I was like, this is, it felt like a fresh new project while still, I mean, it was the still for the most part, the core same guys who were involved in, especially with Oblivion. Well,
the creation of the songs is like all the same core people. Yeah.
Right. So it's like very much a fresh new, it's not just like, oh, here's a fresh new coat of paint. It's like, yes, this is the same core people, but we're doing something a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to the sound of that EP, it definitely, like, there are a few songs on there that like still kind of have that Out of My League sound. But like, you also have to remember that these songs were written like literally over Zoom during COVID. And so we were all kind of like, just like shaking the rust off and like kind of doing what we know and just doing what we liked. So that EP, which I like, is like very much a lot of Out of My League flavor in it. But the new shit we're working on now, because those songs are years old at this point, they just came out, but they're years old. Like we created them a long time ago. The new shit we're working on is like very much different, which we can get into more later. But like it's leaning a lot into like very different influences and different sounds.
I think one of the biggest things to me, when Afraid was presented, was like right off the bat, there's very much a, with the name, the presentation of how you guys have done things, the imagery of it, it's very much like out there and creepy and kind of strange in a good way. Was that something that, like, right off the bat, you guys were like, okay, if we're going to do something, we're going to do something that's unique and different?
It was more like, it wasn't like overtly trying to be different. It was more like, just, we're going to do whatever we want. Like, we're not going to try to, like, appease anybody, or, like, we're not going to, like, think about what other people like, what's going to make other people comfortable. It was just kind of like they were letting me spearhead the visuals, and I was like, okay, well, this is what I like, and this is the kind of stuff I want to create, and the kind of stuff that I'm interested in. And then I presented them the ideas, and the band just let me run with it. And that essentially became like the image of this first EP. And yeah, like, I don't know, everyone was just down with it because it turned out pretty cool.
Well, and I think that makes sense for the project. Like just right off the bat, like, the name Afraid, like, did that come from a very specific place, or it was just literally, it kind of fit with the imaging? Like, what kind of came first, the imaging or the name?
Well, the name definitely came first, I think, because we made the songs, and then we were like, okay, now we have to come up with a name, which was a very long process, because, as you know, it's five people, all very opinionated, and all like, well, the name is have to be something we all like. And so there were so many options, and I knew I wanted it to be something kind of like, I don't know, a core emotion that's kind of dark and kind of like all encompassing of the sounds that we're putting in there and the lyrics. And Afraid was just the one that happened to be the one that everybody was like, oh shit, like, I like that one. And so, yeah, it just ended up being that. It was such a fucking relief when we found that name, because it was such a long process to get to that.
Especially not being in person when a lot of this is going on. It's like, because you said, it was a lot of it was over Zoom. Like, you're writing these songs, exactly. And it's like, you can't gauge people right away. Like, it's very different from when you're in person to being on Zoom. As much as it's cool to be able to have opportunities like this, like, you know, you can, like, you know, we can see each other or whatever. It's like, it's still very different from being in person and you're sitting with somebody and you're looking at them and it's like, what do you think of this? And you're just like, you can really feel their reactions to things. So it's okay, do you actually like this, or are you just saying you do? Like,
yeah, it's very true. And I don't know, it's just, everyone just likes what they like in our band.
Right.
And like, everyone very much has their heels dug in. And when it comes to something like the band name, like, for example, I'll be like, okay, here's a song I wrote, here's what I'm calling it, here's what I want to call it. And that's something where people are like, okay, like, there's not a whole lot of argument, or like, there'll be like a brief discussion, like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is what it means and pertaining to the lyrics, whatever. But like, the fucking band name or the EP name, like, all of that kind of stuff is a lot more of a long, like, can be a lot more of a complicated process.
Right.
It has to be something everyone agrees on and likes, because like, we're not changing it after it's out, kind of thing.
Right. It's not like it could be like, yo, hey, we're Afraid. It's like, oh, actually, LOL, JK, we're not. Here's the new band name. Like, you can't do, especially nowadays when everything is out there for everybody to see at all times. Like,
yeah, like, you're gonna start printing merch, shit like right. that. So
no, I think it's cool. And I mean, I think right away you hear the name and you see the name and you're kind of like, okay, like, what are they afraid of? Like, or like, yes. It's like, is it so on the nose? Question. Like,
right. Multiple people have asked us that.
What are you guys so afraid of? Like, whereas I see that, and the way that it's presented, it's not like Afraid and then the logo is like some dude looking afraid. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be as on the nose, but like, it's an emotion that everyone understands, that emotion. And it's not like you can be afraid. Oh, I'm afraid of monsters or whatever. It's like, no, you can be afraid of just
anything
stuff. Yeah. So it's cool to be able to then explore that, obviously, which, you know, exploring the emotions that you did on the EP. How, well, first and foremost, like you talked a little bit about how you guys getting back together was very much just a, hey, what else are we doing right now kind of thing. But like, was there any trepidation as far as with you guys coming back together and making music again? Like, was it like, you know, are we going to start getting into this and be, once, you know, the pandemic comes to an end, are we going to want to keep doing this? Like, or was it just literally, let's just have fun and fuck it? Like, was that kind of the plan or?
No. So we were like, let's make some, we were like, we just agreed we should make music. And then if all goes well and the pandemic ends soon as we think it will end, then let's do some shows. Like, it was very simple like that. It was, there was no kind of grand plan, at least not at first, in terms of like setting the shows up or whatever. It was just kind of like, let's make music. Let's be a band again. Just at like baseline level.
Cool. Which is, well, I think that's the best way to be, just especially at a time like that. So many people were just like, like there was so much uncertainties, right? What was the first song that came out of that writing process? I'm just curious. Was it one we heard on the EP or?
Yeah, if I remember right. So what we did was we were just writing like sections of songs and just like random riffs and like skeletons of shit. Like, it was like there was no one full song that came first until I think the first track that was like done, like fully formed. I think, if I remember right, it was Corrode Me.
Oh, nice. I can't hear. Okay.
Oh,
nice.
There we go.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mute myself. Right on. And that's cool to hear as a fan of all four of those songs, because Corrode Me was the one that, like, when you guys came out of the gates with Corrode Me, like, I was just like, I remember as soon as I heard that riff, man, I was like, yo, like, it felt very much like familiar but different, like not the same type of thing. And then as soon as the song actually kicked in, I'm like, okay, this very much feels like a more mature, different version of you guys.
Yeah. I think Corrode is probably the most out of my league song on there, but yeah, you can very much tell that, like, I don't know, we got older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more maturity happening for sure. Not that the other stuff wasn't, but like there's, especially with you as a vocalist, like, I mean,
from I changed my style and my technique a lot for this album. Like, I absolutely did.
Well, I think the biggest thing is with Corrode Me and then also with Comet, but specifically with Corrode Me, just because that was the first one, like, we hear a full clean course from you.
Yeah,
for the
right.
most part, anyway. There's a couple of screams in there, but like, we hear that full clean chorus and the clean hook and everything, and it's like, oh shit. Like, I remember me, I was just like, this is exactly where, just me as a fan, I was like, that's where I really wanted to see you guys go, was in that direction. Cause I was like, I know you guys could deliver something really fantastic in this world while still having songs that are just straight, you know, straight heavy. But was that something that, again, just kind of came naturally, or was it like you were mindful of, hey, I'd like to try some cleans?
Yeah, it was more just like, let's try it if we want to do it. Like, it was just one of those things where this whole EP, every time we had an idea, we were like, let's just try it. Like, if it's something we've never done before and we want to do it, let's just do it. So the singing was like part of it. And like, yeah, it was just never something that I was interested in before as much. And then this time around, I just thought it fit into the songs.
which it does fully. Like, I think that having, especially with Kuro and me, and then obviously with Comet, like, you know, having those clean hooks in there brings a whole new dynamic to what it is you guys do. And we got to hear a little tiny, tiny bit of that, obviously, with Recover on Resented, which I can be, you know how much I love that song. Like, so it was like, to then be able
and
to hear.
And that song too was like, I basically got boxed into it. Like, the band was like, you have to fucking do this. So I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Which, I mean, hey, I'm glad they did.
Yeah, but I was very much outside my comfort zone on that track, which is good. But yeah, no. And also the singing is also just influence of like the shit I've been listening to, like the style of vocal and the way that singing goes with the choruses that had been written instrumentally. It's all just like influence of like the bands that I've listened to lately.
Who are some of the bands you've kind of been listening to a lot lately that really influenced that?
Oh, definitely like Loathe and Deftones, like kind of these more like metalcore with like shoegaze kind of influence in it. Like kind of these more droning style of vocals. But there's this band right now called Foreign Hands. They're a metalcore band, and they have a lot of that like early 2000s metalcore kind of throwback, like, or like even there's a band, the hardcore band called Vain, and like whenever they do clean vocals, same thing, like just like the same style of singing that I'm kind of into.
It's very much like a, it doesn't have to be those like big soaring choruses from the 2000s and that metal. It's almost like it can be a little more, like you said, that droning kind of almost subdued isn't really the right word, but like it doesn't have to be like these huge fucking like, you know, stained courses or whatever. Like,
yeah, which frankly that's completely outside my wheelhouse.
Very much that kind of, it's almost taboo to say, but like that era of metalcore and kind of new metal is like making a comeback right now in a big way.
Yeah it is, and the new stuff we're working on is like, I don't want to give too much away, but it has a lot more kind of new metal influence in it.
Okay. And to be clear, when you say new metal, you're not talking about like Limp Bizkit. You're talking about like,
I mean, I don't know. You could equate some of the riffs we've been writing to Limp Bizkit. Maybe.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Like it's like kind of like Linkin Park, like the heavier Linkin Park songs. Right. Like that kind of thing. Or like I said, Deftones. Deftones is a big influence on the more modernized version of our stuff. Like, it's a band that we're all very much into over the last couple of years, more so than we used to be.
Right, because a lot of it, you guys were very much hardcore, you know, kind of that vibe of stuff.
Verse, chorus, breakdown, style metalcore. That was like very much our game, which is two songs on this EP are that.
Sure. Which is killer. Like, obviously.
Yeah. But this is my point of like how this music is like music I'm proud of. And I still think it's the best music we've made to date, like by far. But it's still like kind of old music. Like, it's 2 years old now. So maybe even older. But yeah, like, The point is like we've already very much moved on and like are making stuff that's different to what we put out on the EP. So the new stuff will feel very fresh that we drop.
Okay, cool. But just to clarify, for those wondering, you're not going to come out and be like, yeah, what? Like,
oh no, I'm not going to be doing like the rapping or anything. Okay.
Just because that's the problem with new metal, right? Is like, I think I hear new metal and I don't immediately think of that. It's more like the music side of things, but like some people hear nu metal and they're like, oh, so it's like you're going to be full on rapping over top of. It's like, no, like that's not.
No. Just influences. Like there's just, there's right. elements of it that like, I don't know. There's a lot of like modern nu metal bands that are smaller local bands that like I really fuck with. One of them actually does kind of do that Fred Durst style, but the fucking band is sick. Like I really like the band, but it's definitely like that kind of nu metal is very much an acquired taste, and I can recognize that. And Limp Bizkit is like to a lot of people like kind of a joke band, which like they're a silly band, but like the riffs fucking slam sometimes, I have to admit.
Well, and you know, that's like from my era, so I'm like I love Limp Bizkit. I can't sit here and lie and pretend I don't. Like that new record, I was like, yo, I could not believe when that record came out how much I enjoyed it.
Exactly.
You know, shout outs to Chris from Seagrave, who we literally did a review of it. But like, it's so it's cool to hear that you guys are exploring different things, because we really, just to get back into the EP, like we very much hear on songs, like I guess really specifically, Angel Death feels very much more of a straight to the point kind of hardcore-ish song. Like it's very much straight to the point, very riff heavy, very breakdown.
Well, that,
you know,
that song was written just to like go crazy live.
Right.
Like that was like, that's the only song on the EP where like, it's like purely like an adrenaline song. Like it's like, it exists for the purpose of like getting people angry and fired up and shit like that. Which people get people ready to kill at the show.
Which we're all about that. Don't get me wrong. that's, you need that too. But, and then obviously with Mutator, I specifically, the three songs I really want to ask about, just again, from my own personal curiosity, Mutator is a really cool song because it's very much like, I get the vibe of maybe what you guys would have done with Out of My League if there was no hiatus. Like it was almost like, as much as Corrode Me is very much has that style musically, it's like Mutator really has that, I guess, because it's more of like a hardcore-ish song for me. Like,
yeah, definitely. It's like the outlier. Like, it's the outlier on the record, I think. Like, right. It's like the one that's the most kind of a different style than the other ones.
Right. And it has obviously, you know, lyrically speaking, I'm curious. Like, I know that I think I had someone say to me, because I shared the stuff with some of my horror buddies, I was like, yo, you guys got to check this shit out. Cause especially the music videos. And it's like, I think I had someone say like, you know, it's this mute, like the whole like worm. I have a worm inside my brain and whatnot. And he's like, it's very cool, but also metaphorically speaking, like it's a pretty like deep song. Like what do some of these songs mean to you as far as lyrically and kind of where that comes from?
They're all just different manifestations of like my anxieties and like my like very like, it's just like when I'm having a anxiety spiral at its most severe, and each one is like kind of a different angle on it. Like Mutator is just about like the way anxiety manifests inside of you and feels like just this enemy that you cannot get rid of. And it's just like, sometimes feels like it's ever expanding. But I also really wanted to write a song that was like, I'm obsessed with body horror and I'm obsessed with like, just like the concept of like infection and like infestation and stuff like that. So Mutator was just me really embracing like, I'm not going to hold back in the lyrics. Like I'm going to make a song that is like about worms inside of a body, but also it like obviously is like dual functions as a song about like anxiety and how physical it can get.
Right. It's not like literally the song's about, actually, oh, this song's about a worm inside your brain. What's up? Like, it's like very much.
Which is what I say on stage, though.
That's sick. I love that. I love that so much. Because, but, again, like, I think that's cool, like, to explore that realm lyrically where it's like things can have double meanings and things can be, if you, hey, if you take it as super on the nose and it's a song about worms invading a body and whatnot, like, hey, cool.
It is. But yeah. it is. Like, I was really having fun on that song because it's like me taking like the horror movies and stuff that I like and want to create, but just doing like a lyrical version. You know what I mean?
That was very much the vibe I got from it. I think that's why I love that song so much. It's just like, it feels like this is you just lyrically fully in your element, just having fun. And we even with the music video, like, and the imaging in that, like, you very much see that too.
Yeah. And we shot that whole thing in this apartment, just with black bags everywhere.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, man. As far as with Corrode Me being, I mean, I've made no qualms about saying Corrode Me my favorite track, as much as I love all of them for different reasons, but just, for me, I don't know what it is. I still can't fucking get Corrode Me out of my head. Like you've already said, like, you know, a lot of these are different looks kind of at anxiety and things that you deal with in life. Where does that song come from lyrically for you? Like, because it's very much a, again, metaphor, but also there's a little more kind of going on beneath the surface there.
Yeah, Corrode Me is a little more about like health anxiety, and like I went through a really, really bad spell of like health anxiety in like peak COVID, like 2020, I want to say. And Corrode Me is very much kind of me, I don't know, working through that in a song, just expressing it through a song. And it's just about like the breaking down of a body and how the mind and the body are connected, in the sense of like, if you're like, if you feel like you're sick, you will get sick and it's like a vicious cycle. Or like, if you feel like something's wrong with you in your body will respond to that, and how it can just become like this nightmare. And that's what Corrode Me was about.
And it's so interesting because I think so many people can relate to that, where it's like, you know, you have that, or everyone can, you know, you wake up in the morning and you just, for some reason, right away, your brain's just fucking starts to turn on you, so to speak. Like, and then you're just, you don't want to do anything, and how the long-term effects of that can be for a lot of people. So like, that's, I think,
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, whatever it may be, if you think you have a certain illness, your anxiety will start manifesting that in ways where it's like, oh, I physically feel this, so it must be real. And then it's, but it isn't, but it just is like this, like I said, it's like a vicious cycle. I just found that to be like a very, it's a very scary and interesting concept. So I wanted to do a song about it.
And then obviously I have to ask about the music video, which I knew it was going to be like, you know, for lack of a better term, messed up. But I think Mav sent it to me first. He was like, dude, like, you need to watch this because you're going to really dig this. And Dom did it and everything. And like, this is so cool. And what's, there's lots of great practical horror happening and stuff like that in there as well. So just kind of walk me through that music video and like what the concept is behind it, because it's very much, for lack of a better term, it's pretty out there.
I knew I wanted to do a concept in a video where someone's face is like decaying and like something I've noticed is like a pattern in my art is like a mask coming off or like something getting pulled back and revealed. And so, I actually did this, short film in school where it was a stop motion film, and I took like a mannequin's head that was just like a white blank face, and then like eyes appear and mouth appears and like a facial expression appears, and then the head like falls apart and rots and like breaks apart, and it's like very like stripped down, no budget, like just a fun little thing. But I knew I wanted to take that further in the future. And so my friend Jacob Gunhouse, who does all the special effects in the videos I've done, and in, I've worked with him a ton in school and on other projects. He's a fucking like wizard, like absolute effects wizard. He's so good. And he's also very much into older horror movies and the stuff that I like. So I brought the concept to him. And I was like, hey, like, this is what I want to do. It's like a face decaying, whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah. And then the idea started evolving. And I'm like, what if it's like a prosthetic face? And I like cut it apart or rip it apart, and then underneath it's like a flesh face, like it, like just like a complete mess and disaster. And he was like, oh, that's sick. And then I sent him, I don't know if you are into the Hellraiser movies, but I'm pretty huge on the first, especially the first couple Hellraiser movies. There's a scene in Hellraiser 2 where one of the characters in the movie is just literally muscle, like just made of muscle only. There's no tissue, no skin, no flesh. And I just took a screenshot of that scene and sent it to him. And I was like, this is my reference. This is what I want the final form to look like after the prosthetic head comes off. And he's like, dude, we can do that. We can definitely do that. So then it was just about, it was just about conceptualizing and working. And then my girlfriend, my partner, Joe, she shot the video, but she also is a huge part of like the conceptualizing. And usually when we're on set creating stuff, she has like a lot, our kind of style of shooting is very spontaneous. We like come up with things on the spot a lot because we're such a small crew. And it's kind of just us like doing it and not having to worry about everybody else and like messing with their time. And so on set, she came up with a ton of ideas. One of my favorite ideas was I had this camcorder, which I used for the Seagrave video, which I'm sure you saw, which we might talk about later. She was like, what if we plug the camcorder into our VCR TV and have like a live feed? And I was like, this is fucking genius. So like, we did that. And then, yeah, we just came up with this idea of like, how am I going to rip my own face off and cut my own face apart? Oh, I know. I'll just find like a, is it silicone? Not silicone. Just whatever the mask that I wore, like it goes around and then all the way down under your neck and under your shirt. And I just bought like a fucking $30 weird, uncanny looking one from Amazon. And I was like, we'll just cut this apart. We'll do all my makeup beforehand underneath and then pull that over top, and then we'll just cut it apart, and then underneath the muscle effect will already be there, and then in between takes we can just add blood and whatever we need as we go. So it was just like a concept of like, I wanted the video, like the song is about the body kind of breaking down and like losing control and like wanting to escape your own body, or like being prisoner in your own body almost. And so the video, I wanted to represent that in some ways, but I also just wanted to use this concept that I had come up with years prior. And then we just took it to a new level.
Then obviously too, having the, you know, like this person's literally ripping their face apart and they have scissors and stuff. And like, it's very much, I think it fits so well with the whole idea behind the song that you had talked about. and wanting people to, you know, escape their bodies and stuff. Because in that moment when you're having those anxiety-ridden moments where you're feeling sick, sometimes that's what you want to do. You're just like, you want to like get out of your own body.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just brilliant. Like, it's just like the most extreme most extreme representation visually. Because also, too, I wanted the videos for this band to be like very striking and different. And again, I just wanted to pour all of my influences and that type of films that I like into it.
Definitely. And I mean, obviously, Mutator is the same thing. Like, you know, it's very much a really well done video, like with you and the look of it. And, you know, I think every time you go on Afraid's Spotify, one of the still images from that pops up. And I'm always like, yeah, no, so, that's so sick.
I'll pull it up right now. And it's funny because we keep going, we keep saying like, all right, is it time to like make our header like the guys in the band? But I'm like, this is such a cool.
Yeah, dude.
Like, it's just so strange looking and like intriguing when you go on there. I don't want to change it.
Yeah, dude.
If we ever do change it, I want it to be something else weird.
I think right away it, you know, nowadays, let's be real for a minute. There are thousands of bands out there that are awesome, great bands. So to do things that is different and ways you can separate yourself, one thing that you can do is have really striking visuals and something that's different. It's not just like a bunch of dudes standing around in plaid shirts in front of a wall. Like, let's try and do something, which is nothing wrong with that, but like, let's do some different things. So I think for you guys, and with obviously having you involved in the project with the visualization, like, I think it works. It's like, yeah, it's almost like, what's that dude who's like the cover of the thing? Like, what is that? Like, what does that represent? Like, it almost makes people want to look more into things.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, you know, it connects with people who are also into that kind of surreal or like horror imagery. And it was also a situation where it was like, okay, should either of these videos have like band performances? Like, we had to get everybody together. And then it was just got to a point where I was like, who cares? Like, let's just make them weird little videos. Because they're like, and they did not cost us much. They were hard work, but like, it was just me, Joe, my partner, and then Jake, and the three of us conceptualizing it for a few weeks. Then both videos we shot right here in my room, and we just like went to town, like went crazy.
That's so cool. Almost like guerrilla filmmaking. I love that shit where it's just like,
nothing. It was just the three of us.
That's awesome, man. I love that. And I hope that we keep seeing that from Afraid, like that type of concept and that visualization that you guys have been presenting. Even like the band photos, it's like, you know, you guys are in like a basement. Like, it's very cool. And it feels very much that those horror elements are very much in with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like thinking big, but thinking small at the same time, like knowing like, okay, let's do something interesting, but also like, you don't have to do something epic and that costs thousands of dollars either. Because you can do shit that's, people don't want to hear this, but you can do shit that doesn't cost you much. But if it's done in the right way, it will be effective and people will gravitate towards it. And I think, I don't know, the music videos are kind of evident of that.
Right. You don't have to have a $10,000 budget, you know, with a bunch of crazy stuff. And don't get me wrong,
big budget. If you have the means, fucking go crazy.
Oh, sure.
if you're like, fuck, I can't afford anything, whatever. It's like, just start thinking about ways you can do it. Because I just knew that the Corrode Me video, as the first video, would be effective just based on what we did with it.
And I mean, I think it was, as a fan. I was like, yep, okay, that did it. So that's... Yeah.
And also, we're making shit that we like. Right. So like, even regardless as if people don't gravitate towards it, like, I'm happy. I think it's cool and I, it's like a piece of art that like I wanted to make. So it's as simple as that as well.
It's so important to, like I was saying earlier, do things you love and make sure something's fun. We all got into these creative avenues because it's fun, right? And if you do something you enjoy and you love, most of the time people are going to gravitate towards that because you can feel when something's dishonest, right? It's like, oh, well, this is what everyone else is doing, so let's do it. It's like, if you're not honest with people in your art, people are going to know. Like, you can feel that.
Yes, it's true. It's very true.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as with, just to kind of round off, finish off the EP here, with Comet, what's, it's an epic tune, tons of dynamics happening. It's definitely a fantastic opener to the EP. Walk me through Comet a little bit. What's, what does that song mean for you?
So Comet is about like fear of the future and like uncertainties in life and how it's like, you have a plan, but like you can't help but think further. And I don't know, it's just about like kind of the irrational, being scared of like not knowing what's going to happen next, and how like there's no escaping like the future, like it's just coming towards you. And so it was kind of, especially in that last verse, I just manifested it all through. I've always been like very much, ever since I was a kid, I had like that fear of like, what if a fucking asteroid hits the Earth?
Which, yeah, okay. I get it.
Yeah. And I've always been like kind of enamored with that. There's a great film called Melancholia. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's about this huge planet that's going to collide with Earth, but it's a very like dreary, experimental, dark film. And it's the same thing. It's about like it's about the anxiety of like an inevitable event. And so very much influenced by that film in general in my art. And Comet is kind of like about that, like fear of the inevitable.
And I think, again, you know, especially with the pandemic, I think so many people who maybe didn't think like that, like how quickly things can be taken away or how quickly things can come to an end. Like, that's a fear that I think a lot of people, it's almost like some people were like cocky about things, where it's like, oh, well, you know, I'll do that next year. I'll do that then. I'll do that this because, you know, I got lots of time. And it's like, as much as, yeah, sure. But it's also like, well, what if a fucking asteroid hits the Earth tomorrow? Like, are you, so don't, for, I guess that's how I take it. It's like, for me, don't keep waiting. Don't keep putting things off. At least get started on that journey, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. 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 That's an interesting perspective too. And what I like about, I don't know, just making songs is that's like a way that that's what it means to you, the idea, but it means something different to me and to anyone else who hears it. And that's what I like about it. Like it doesn't even really matter what my intent is with the meanings. It's because people, especially in the way that I write, like sometimes I write hyper specific and sometimes I write very much not that way. And so people will, it'll mean something different to everybody, I guess is my point. And that's what I like about it.
Sometimes having something that is perfectly vague enough that it's not like, okay, this is clearly about this one specific thing and that's it. But having something that's a little more, it can, I mean, most music can mean something different to everybody, right? That's the beauty of music and of art. But having that mindset where it's like everyone is going to get something different out of it. And that's, I think, when you know, too, you've made some truly great art is when it can mean something a little different to everybody. I think that's the cool part of it.
Yeah, exactly. No, and a lot of songs and films that I like very much are like that. So I think it influences a lot of the stuff that I do.
So as far as with just the styles of each song on the EP, like obviously we've talked a little bit about this so far, but as far as the writing process itself, obviously you've mentioned that things were written over Zoom and that, but like what did kind of everybody bring to the table as far as with those specific songs? Like how did that process work?
Well, so the songs were like written over Zoom, yes, but just like the basis of each song. And then gradually we actually started meeting up. Sometimes it would be just Steven and I. Sometimes it would be Steven and Mav. Sometimes the three of us. Sometimes all of us. Sometimes me, Ali, Steven, whatever. But like, whenever people were available, we would go to Steven's house and work on the songs. And that's when everybody's like singular influences really started coming together. So like Corrode Me, or sorry, Comet is like a lot of Steven, but then Mav coming up with like he's like spicing it up. Or like the part in Comet where there's that big breakdown, but then there's that lead over top of it. That's like, that's Mav. Like Mav came up with that lead part, and the breakdown, if I remember right, was Steven. Hopefully I'm not fucking that up. I'll
To
probably
say
think about
that's
it.
opposite from what I would have thought, so that's interesting.
Well, yes, the thing too is like there is no like it's not as much of a lead guitarist anymore.
Right.
It's kind of the two of them just trading off. Like at the last show we did at the Alma Combo, the sound tech was like, who's lead? And they're like, kind of both of us. She's like, okay. So yeah, and then like Mutator is like primarily a Mav song. Like the reason why it's such a fucking like more of just a straight ripper is because it's Mav just fucking slamming it. But then at the end with the final breakdown, the final breakdown is like Steven because it's more like atmospheric and like doomy
Yeah.
and ambient. So it's a lot of like it's kind of like what you would think, like knowing their styles and knowing their personalities, but also like Mav has also leveled up so much as a musician from being in Pneumonia Breath, which is his other band. For those who don't know, Mav is in another band called Pneumonia Breath. And it's such high level musicianship in that band, and like there's some very technical playing. So it completely upgraded like everything. Like Mav is like more on point than he's ever been, and creatively as well, not just technically good playing. But yeah, everyone was the styles were meshing on this project way more so than in the past. Like it was very much everybody working together and less of like, oh, Steven wrote this whole song and then like we'll come over after, maybe make a couple changes, whatever.
Add something in here and there, but for the most part, it's, this is Steven's song, like.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was the process has like been very different, and like I don't know. It's like or like a couple of us, like now with these new songs we're working on, it'll be like, oh yeah, like Mav and I came up with this whole concept and we bring it to the band, or vice versa, like fucking Steven and I came up with this and we'll bring it to the band. And then it becomes like a group project after like kind of the foundation's been laid for it.
Killer. And I think that's the best way to work too, when it's like you're all just coming together with things. As much as it's cool to have songs that are primarily written by one person, it's like it's also cool to really bring all that together.
Yeah, exactly.
think it makes the process more fun. You mentioned show at the Alma Combo. How were those first couple of shows being back for you guys?
Crazy, dude. The first show was, I believe it sold out. It didn't sell out before Doors. And then I think after the door count, it sold out. And then there were so many people there from different avenues of my life and like people that I hadn't seen in so long. So it was very much like, not just like a band reunion, but just like a reunion of like people from like that era in my, from my life. And it was like my worlds colliding of like these old scene people. And then people I knew from like film school and people I've met in like today's scene, etc. And so that show was very much like a homecoming show. It was a, it was huge. It was very surreal. And like being on stage, it was a very strange feeling. I almost didn't feel like fully like myself. Like it was, it's hard to describe, because when we did Alma Combo, which was also sold out before Doors, I felt like a classic, like it felt like classic out of my league. Like I was like on autopilot, and like on stage I felt very comfortable and loose, whereas at the first show I was like, holy fuck, forgot what this was like. Like I was a lot more in my head, I think, when I was on stage and like thinking about everything. Whereas in at the Alma Combo, and I think kind of from here on out, I'm like kind of back to like, I'm back in business with this whole thing.
It's like, there's very much a, with that first show, especially like it's not like there's very much that fear of like, and I was going to ask, like, being that it had been a while, because like you, dude, like I always said, like, you fucking had it from day one. I can't tell you what it is, but like watching you on stage do your thing back in the day, like even when you were fucking 16, 17 years old, I'm just like, this guy just gets it. There's just no, there's this confidence that's exuding off of you, and you're very much, have always been a great front man. So like, I was going to ask, like, was there that little bit of fear where you were like, can I still do this? And it sounds like you're kind of like, we're very much again in line with the band and being afraid of certain things and whatnot. It's like, it's almost like kind of in, almost kind of is interesting that that was kind of going through your head a little bit. Like,
I mean, it was weird. Like before we did the show, I was like I was nervous about how the band would function and like all that, like back together on stage. We were doing practices and stuff. It was good. But I had like a lot of thoughts going into that. I wasn't having doubts or anything. It was more so when I was actually up there, it was very overwhelming. Like, which was a feeling I had never felt before. Like even when we played some of our biggest shows back in the day, it was just like excitement and adrenaline. Whereas this show, like such a specific feeling I've never had before. Like I was kind of just so dumbfounded to see like a sold out show in front of me after all this time that like, I couldn't even think straight on stage. And so when I got off, I was like, was that good? Like, did I perform good? Did I like whatever? And also like, I fucking went so crazy in the first couple songs that I actually blew my voice a little.
Oh no.
Because I was just so amped. Whereas like Alma Combo, it was like, everything felt great. Everything felt perfect. It was also sold out, but I had no feeling like that. It was just like it was just like the same old feeling I get at any great show. Cause they're both fantastic shows. Everyone went nuts at both. So yeah, it was awesome.
That's killer. Is there any other plans right now for the band as far as with like upcoming shows? Like kind of what's next for Afraid at this point in the game here?
So I don't want to speak on when we're going to release new music just because we've already talked multiple times about when it's going to happen. But we are like getting close to finishing two songs. And then it's just a matter of, I would like to drop in the summertime. I don't want to make any promises to anybody, but that's my ideal. That's my ideal. And then we have May. We have a show in May with Street Justice and Falstaff and Cruel Intent and Force of Will. So that's the jam spot in May, New Market. And then we have a couple more shows that we are signed on to do in the summer, but they haven't been announced yet. So I can't really speak on that. But yeah, we got shows coming, planning more. I'm hoping to stay busy this summer with the band, but not too busy. Because the thing with us is we're all so, like, Mav is in another band. Ali is in another band. Steven has like a full-time career. I'm doing film. I'm doing my job. I'm doing like all my shit in the city. So we're very much a band that's like, we want to play when we can, but not go like too apeshit with it. Like, we're not trying to be hyperactive or anything. So yeah, we want to do it. Like, I don't know. I would like to do a bunch of shows this summer though. Like, you know, much as we can, just have fun with it. And then, yeah, hopefully drop a song or two in the summer as well. So there's one song I'm so excited about, and that is the one that I've been talking about with kind of these other influences.
That's awesome. It very much feels, you can feel how excited you are and like what's to come. And it's very much like there's no, sometimes just having an attitude of like I've said too, like, let's just have fun. Like, let's not go crazy. We have to play a show every weekend and let's play Oshawa 13 times this month. Like, you know, it's like, you know, let's just make the shows mean something, have fun, yeah, like some music.
Yeah, like I just want to do shows that are cool and that I want to play and with bands that I like. Like bands that I think are cool. So yeah, that's why I'm excited about that one in May, because it's a bunch of cool bands. And the ones that we have planned are also with bands that we like, and also just doing stuff that's kind of different. Like that last show we did at the Elma Combo, we're the only metal band on the bill, and it was just kind of like a good chance to break into different audiences and expose ourselves to people who wouldn't normally come to a show like ours. Like, I had no idea how we'd be received at that show, but it fucking went crazy. Huge pit. It was awesome.
That's killer. Well, especially being really like one of the only metal bands on the bill, it's like, that's, you know, people can get out their their aggression, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah. No, exactly.
So that's awesome to hear, man. Well, I'm excited for everything. I'm sure everyone else is too. I can't wait to hear more and see more of what you guys do. Just as we are getting ready to wind down here, I wanted to ask, you mentioned a little bit about like some films and stuff that you've worked on and what has films that have influenced you as a, you know, as a filmmaker and creator, but also as an artist. Walk me through some films that like were a really big influence on you.
Oh man. I mean, I'm influenced. So the thing about me is like, I love horror movies, but I'm influenced like across the board because I watch a lot of films in general. So like for these Afraid videos and for some of the films I'm making, I'm huge into David Cronenberg. He's my favorite director and he is like the body horror king. I got really into him in my first year of college. I always liked The Fly, but across the board, all of his stuff is a huge influence on me. The Fly had a big influence on like Mutator and Corrode Me. Mutator in terms of like lyrics and like general atmosphere, and then Corrode Me for the visuals, like transformation and getting destroyed and stuff like that. Fly is a big influence, and it's I don't know if you've noticed on the Mutator, so there's the Afraid shirt that has Mutator on the back, says Mutator. That graphic and like all the writing is the part from The Fly where he's like analyzing what happened inside the machine, and he's like realizing that he assimilated with The Fly and that he's going to like, he's becoming one. So all of the graphic is like the scan that he looks at, and then all the writing is like the machine, like the computer telling him what happened. And that's like the back design of the shirt. So it's kind of like an obscure part of the movie.
Yeah, and it's killer. Well, it's funny you say that, dude, because I'm literally looking at it right now. Like, as you said that, I was just looking at it because I was going to ask actually about some of the merch stuff, because that's a killer shirt. And it's very much, again, on the nose with influences, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that I have no problem with, because it's just good visuals. And people like that shit. People like buying cool referential merch. So yeah, no, The Fly, Cronenberg in general, Hellraiser. There's a film called Take Shelter. It's one of my favorite movies. It's not really a horror movie per se. It's like a psychological drama, I guess. But it's also about like mental health and a guy like kind of losing his mind and losing his grip on reality. It has Michael Shannon, who's a sick actor. You should watch that one if you've never seen it.
I was just looking it up, because I had heard of it, and I love all that shit, right?
That like movie struck, like that movie felt like they pulled my psyche out of my brain and like put it into a film. Like, it's such a personal film to me. It has so much influence in everything that I do artistically. I fucking love that movie. And also, if you see us live, the opening sample that plays during like the build up in Angel Death is like Michael Shannon like screaming in that movie, like the monologue that he does in that movie. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, like and throughout the Afraid set, there's a bunch of little movie samples from films that I really like. There's a Poltergeist sample in there, which is like another movie I love, grew up loving, also has a lot of influence on me. Yeah, I could talk about horror movies all day. Like, literally all day.
I love it, man. I love that you're combining your loves. Like, there's nothing I love more than seeing people do the things they love, but combining things they love into a project or, you know, a whole different and something new. Like, I live for that shit. Like, it's something I've been exploring myself over the last couple of years. So it's like, I love seeing that kind of stuff, and I hope that it's something that you keep doing.
And yeah, and it's the same with everything. Like, so I directed the video. I know you've had Seagrave on this show a couple times. I remember from the band. And I directed their video for Edge of the Woods. And that video was literally just kind of an excuse for me to make like a brutal slasher film.
You just wanted to kill Stiv, just be honest.
It wasn't supposed to be Stiv, it was supposed to be Chris.
Oh, well, okay. What the hell? Did he veto it?
No, it was supposed to be Chris. And then when we were going through kind of the planning of the video, it ended up just working out better that it was like Stiv.
Let's be honest, Stiv's just a more likable character, so I'm just kidding. Shout out to the boys.
Yeah. But no, those guys, I like those guys because they really let us like I brought them a really crazy kind of concept and they kind of let me just run with it. They're like, yeah, you guys can just do whatever you want. So me, Jake and Em just like went crazy with it and just didn't really put any limitations on what we were doing. And it turned out for the better in that way, I think.
I think it's a killer video. And I remember I got super excited when I saw your name associated with it. I think I messaged Chris and I was like, yo, did Dom do it? He's like, yeah, dude. I'm like, oh shit. Like, that's awesome. Like, so it's always cool to see things like that. And again, this was before I knew Afraid was coming back. So it's like, I always love to see little things like that and stuff that you're working on. What's is there anything else as far as in that world that you've got coming up you can kind of hype or?
I'll take this moment to plug my brother's film, which I just worked on.
Yes.
Yeah. So Luke just directed his first short, his first like real short. I was on crew for that. I was focus pulling on the film. And I was also kind of helping him along the way behind the scenes. And then Jake and Joe, like the people I make all my videos with, they did the creature effects in the movie. So the three of us who are like the like our own team, our own unit, were on that film too. And I can't get into too much of, I don't want to get into too much of what it is because Luke has just started editing the movie. Like we just wrapped shooting it, but it's a horror movie. It's got an impact wrestler, Killer Kelly, in one of the leading roles. And it'll probably come out, I'm going to assume, in the fall. I don't want to talk too much on the release dates and that.
He'll be on at some point to talk about it, just for the record, folks. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So if you go on, sure if we'll you link go up. On Luke, yeah, if you go on Luke Perron or Arachnid Movie Instagram, you can see the posts and the updates. But I'm always working on stuff. I'm planning a short film right now that's not really a horror film, but kind of an experimental surrealist thing. And I'm always working on stuff like that. I just wish I had something more solid. It's hard to talk about stuff when I have no idea when it's coming out. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm trying to think of what else I can plug in that regard, but I'm kind of drawing a blank because it's all stuff that we're working on behind the scenes right now.
Well, where can the people keep up with you and everything that you're doing? Not just obviously in the music world, I'll have some links down below for the band, but as far as you in that world, where's the best place for people to keep up with you?
Instagram, dude. This Instagram account.
Dominic Perron or Cenobite dot underscore. I'll have a link down below. And obviously I will, in the Instagram post for this, I will also link you. Give them a follow there, but I'll have some links in that description.
That's where I post like genuinely everything. I don't have like some kind of business account. My personal account and my, as many people are these days, my work and my personal is kind of all one now. So follow me there and that's where you'll get all the juice, all the stuff,
all the goodness and the creepy shit and the cool shit and cool. Okay.
Yeah. But we're always working, always putting out stuff, whether I'm working on something of a friend's or my own stuff or doing a video for a band. It's all there and I'm always up to something. So hopefully people dig it.
Yeah, man. Well, it's been great getting to catch up with you. Just before I let you go, I have one more quick question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you have to pick one song from the batch of the four Afraid songs we've heard, do you have a favorite?
Probably Comet's my favorite.
Okay. That's a pretty acceptable answer, I think.
It's between, I don't know, Corrodemia I have like a special attachment to because of the video and because it was the first one and because like it was like the first mix we got back and I just like listened to it a bunch and was very excited about it. But Comet has like the best out of everybody on it, I think. So I don't know. I think it's probably Comet.
That's it. That's the one I've been, that and Corrodemia are the ones I've been sending to people the most. So I would think that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah. Thank you for sending it to people.
Of course, man. Well, again, I can't wait to see more of what you guys do. I'm so happy that you're doing all these cool projects. And then obviously you and the guys are back making music. I was so happy to see that happen. And guys, again, I'll have some links down below in the description of this as far as to check out Afraid, keep up with what Dom's doing outside of music. And let's not wait at 8 years to to link up again to have a chat or 7 years or whatever.
No. Hit me up anytime.
Yeah, dude. Thank you so much, Dom. We'll talk to you.
Of course, man. Take it easy.
All right, folks, there you have it. My chat with Dom Perron from Afraid, formerly of Out of My League. Also a budding horror filmmaker. Be sure to check him out in the description of this podcast. I'll have some links to his personal Instagram account as well as Afraid. Go check him out. Give him some love. Let him know that Hodder sent you because he deserves your support and as does the band. Really, really love the EP and can't wait to hear more from the guys, especially if they're going into a little bit of a new metal direction. Always love hearing that kind of stuff. Just like I love hearing from you guys. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let me know. Be sure to leave a subscribe, leave a rating. That always helps out. Be sure to follow The Hodder Show on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram. Hit me up anytime at thehoddershow@gmail.com. I also do have a Discord. So go check that out if you so choose. I'll have a link tree in the description of this podcast as well for all of my links. And if you want to support the show, consider joining the Hodder Show Patreon and joining the ranks of my wonderful supporters, my Hodheads. We, of course, have Ronan Kumari, Wolf Delta Pi, C.M. Peters, Jason Reese from Jaybird Digital Arts, Terry and Janet Hodder, the impromptu creators of The Hodder Show, Brandon Bowden, Neil Skorupa, and Ian Hall. Thank you guys all so much for the support. It truly means the world to me. I love doing The Hodder Show. My kind of, not hiatus, but my lack of weekly content over the last couple of months hasn't been because I don't enjoy this. It's just literally strictly a time and scheduling thing. I want to make sure I can provide you guys with the best content that I can. And I'm never going to half-ass anything. Ever. I would rather not do this podcast at all for a couple of weeks than release something that's half-assed. So just know if you don't hear from me for a little while, I'm coming. Got something cooking. And every time you do hear from me, it's going to be something like this great chat with Dom or other stuff. We're coming up on episode 400, hopefully very, very soon. Hoping to definitely get to it before the end of the month. I'm hoping like June. I'm hoping it's a little more normal content wise for the Hodder Show. But again, like I said, rest assured that when you do hear from me, it's going to be something good. And episode 400 is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing a live Q&A type thing over on my Discord. So that's going to be probably a bit of a shit show in the best way. I say that with absolute love and affection. So stay tuned for all of that and be sure to join the Discord if you haven't. Like I said, link in the description of this podcast to the Hodder Show link tree or just shoot me a message and I'll send you a link directly to the Discord so you can be a part of that when it does happen. With that, I'm going to sign off here today. Thank you guys so very much for tuning in and all the love and support. And I will catch you next time right here on The Hodder Show. Take it easy, guys.